many of the same devotees. Do you all know it's a very special day today? It's Raghunandan's birthday. Where is he? Oh, there he is. Happy birthday. Is there a cake? I'm going to stand there and we're going to say, may you never take birth again. Hare Krishna. I understand that one of the topics that Raghunandan wanted to share with all of you was the quality that should be there in hearing so that hearing is effective. Something like that? An essential part of our practice, devotional practice, is hearing. In fact, is the first of the 9 processes of bhakti. It starts with hearing, and so much is it involved in hearing and chanting with transcendental messages. So what quality should be there in hearing? Like to speak about that, but speak about it in the context of Queen Kunti's prayers, because I understand that there's been some discussions about Queen Kunti's prayers, and that this morning the verse that was finished was text 34, and conveniently text 35 and text 36 are about hearing. Mm-hmm. So we'll discuss those. And then I'll just read them and we'll discuss the topic. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 You don't have to repeat the Sanskrit. It might be a little difficult. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bihi shravana smaranar hani karishyan iti kechana. And yet others say that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from the material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. Kunti is offering prayers to Krishna, describing different reasons why different persons say Krishna has appeared in this world. Because in the very beginning she's explained that he's otherworldly. She's very clear that he's the same as the super soul within the heart of every living being, yet he's appeared by his mercy. Purport. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that he appears in every millennium just to establish the way of religion. The way of religion is made by the Supreme Lord. No one can manufacture a new path of religion, as is the fashion for certain ambitious persons. The factual way of religion is to accept the Lord as the supreme authority and thus render service unto him in spontaneous love. A living being cannot help but render service because he is constitutionally made for that purpose. The only function of a living being is to render service to the Lord. The Lord is great, and living beings are subordinate to him. Therefore, it is the duty of the living being to just serve him only. Unfortunately, the illusioned living beings, out of misunderstanding only, become servants of the senses by material desire. This desire is called avidya, or nescience. And out of such desire, the living being makes different plans for material enjoyment centered about a perverted sex life. He therefore becomes entangled in the chain of birth and death by transmigrating into different bodies and different planets under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Unless, therefore, one is beyond the boundary of this nescience, one cannot get freed from the threefold miseries of material life. That is the law of nature. So that's the problem. Now comes the solution. The Lord, however, out of his causeless mercy, because he is more merciful to the suffering living beings than they can expect, appears before them and renovates the principle of devotional service comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, cooperating, and surrendering unto him. Adoption of all the above mentioned items, or any one of them, can help a conditioned soul get out of the tangle of nescience and thus become liberated from all material sufferings created by the living being, illusioned by the external energy. This particular type of mercy is bestowed upon the living being by the Lord in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this verse hasn't described, verse and purport hasn't described the quality of chanting, but it indicates, indirectly at least, the possibility that can come from chanting. And if one can understand the circumstance, the conflicting, undesirable circumstance that one finds oneself in, and that hearing is the initial primary means, it's getting out of that condition, then that says something about quality. Qualitatively, how one should hear. Here's a metaphor. Like a person that's at the bottom of a well, and they're calling, "Help! Help!" And someone lowers a rope. Like that. The sound vibrations are the instructions of the Vedas and those that are representing the Vedas. It's like a rope that can pull somebody out of a dark well. So one should grab hold of that rope because it can rescue you from that. Otherwise, you can't get out of its circumstance. That's the well is used specifically. As in Prabhupada's explanation, without assistance, you can't get out. You can't make an arrangement to get out unless someone comes and assists you to get out. And so hearing is such an opportunity. It's a rope. And grab hold of the rope. The other person and the others, it's not even you have to climb up the rope. The other person will pull the rope. You just hold on to the rope. Take shelter of the instruction. It means apply it, the instruction here, with the intent of applying. Because through the applying of the instructions built within the purport, the avidya potency, avidya shakti, is removed. What a relief. No more ignorance. And it doesn't just mean, ignorance doesn't just mean, some material knowledge. I don't know how to operate an electronic device, So someone can show me how to operate an electronic device. Now I know how to operate to do that. It's not some material thing. It's a I've been meeting in the third canto, 10th chapter of the Bhagavatam, and in that chapter it describes sarga and visarga. Do you know what that is?
Creation and destruction?
Sarga is the creation of Lord Vishnu, and visarga is what Brahma does after the Lord provides all the ingredients. That's visarga. Sub-creation and sub-creation. So we can say Brahma is the creator of this universe. And that's a true statement. But he's the sub-creator, more precisely. And the Lord is the creator, and one of the things the Bhagavatam says, there are 9 different categories of creation. I don't want to get too technical, but it's just there's the first 5 have to do with the creation of Mahatattva. What's Mahatattva? You know what Mahatattva is? No? You've heard of the Mahatattva, right?
Yeah.
Lord Vishnu is lying in the causal ocean, and he glances over Pradhan. Pradhan means sum total of all the material energy, but undifferentiated. You can think of it as a big warehouse where everything is all jumbled up. Maybe you're like your bedroom when you haven't cleaned it or something. Your socks are there somewhere, you just don't know where they are, along with everything else. Something like that. And by his glance, the living entities are carried into the pradhan, and the sum total of material elements, along with the time energy. And when the time energy starts interacting with the dormant modes of nature, and nature means prakriti, then things start to separate out. So those things that separate out, the Bhagavatam has identified, Maitreya is identifying 5 different categories of things that separate out. False ego is the first thing that comes, our dear friend. And then mixing with the modes of nature, the mind, material intelligence, and the Panchabhuta, 5 gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So those are things, and then those 5 are what's going on in this Mahatattva. That's the total material ingredients differentiated. Pradhan is before differentiation, Mahatattva is after it's all separated out, differentiated. Nice shelves, everything's put away and neat and clean. Then there's another energy that's part of what Mahavishnu does, or the sarga, and that's avidya shakti, because you can't have creation, or you can't have material activity without stuff, like prakriti in its differentiated state. And to have that, you have to have time. You can't have events without time. Like we're in the living room, or temple room, living room. And before that we were somewhere else, and afterwards we're going to be somewhere else. So this is an event, and events happen with time. Without time you don't have events. You don't have events without living entities. You don't have events without time. you don't have advance without stuff or prakriti. But there's another thing that's required, and that's ignorance. You don't have material events without ignorance. So the Lord supplies ignorance of Indra Shakti. And it just like covers everybody, all the living entities, so they can have material activities. And the essence of the material activity is enjoy prakriti. You can't. But to think that you can, you need ignorance. So now, once covered by ignorance, we can think, well, you know, I'm a good person. What's wrong? People speak like this. I've heard people so often say, yeah, I'm religious too. I try to do good things. I don't hurt anybody. I try to help people. That's what religion is. I'm a religious person. I'm a good person. That's a mode of goodness, ignorance. Identifying with the body and thinking, I'm doing good things and I'm causing other people to be happy. When Krishna is very clear, Nakartritvam, Nakarmani, Lobhishas, Mrichatepa, that's it. That's, don't think that way. I am doing things, and I'm the cause of the results of things, and I'm inducing other people to do things. But all this is being carried out by prakriti. But if we think otherwise, it's avidya shakti. So this verse is speaking about that's the problem. And then how do you get rid of it? How do you get rid of the problem? If the Lord pulls off the influence of avidya shakti. Okay, Maya, this living entity is my pure devotee. You can step aside now. Avidya shakti is gone. No more ignorance. What a relief. It's not Krishna's a cruel master. We want it. He advised against it. We said, no, I want it. He advised against it. We said, no, I want it. I want it. All right. There it is. But once you're in that situation, it's not easy to get out. I want it. So, then Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita how that can be relieved. Sarva dharmam paritya mamekam sharanam braja aham tam sarva papi vyo moksha yashami masu chaha. So that's another quality that should be there in hearing with surrender to Krishna. Through this sound vibration, I can't see Krishna, but I know the source of this transcendental knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's there. That sound vibration is not different than Krishna. The name of Krishna is not different than Krishna. The message of Krishna is not different than Krishna. The process of hearing about Krishna, Krishna Katha, is not different than Krishna. With that faith, that's the quality of hearing. With faith, Shradhavan Bhajate Yomam Samayukta Tamo Mataha. One can understand. And without faith, people will say, nothing's happening. What's wrong? How come I'm not making advancement? What's wrong? There's nothing wrong with the process. It's the quality with which we're receiving the process or participating in the process. So faith is important, and how do you get faith? By associating with faithful persons. And by taking the messages and applying them. When you act in knowledge, you increase your realization, and that nurtures faith. So those are some thoughts. Here's the next verse that Kunti speaks. You heard the first line, you've heard this elsewhere. Shrinvanti Gayanti Grananti Abhikshnashaha, how it begins, Smaranti Nandanti Tavehi Tamjana Eva Pashyanti Acharena Tavakam Bhava Pravaho Paranam Paramam Padam Bhujam. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Purport. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna cannot be seen by our present conditional vision. In order to see him, one has to change his present vision by developing a different condition of life, full of spontaneous love of Godhead. When Krishna was personally present on the face of the globe, not everyone could see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Materialists like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Jarasandha, and Shishupal were highly qualified persons by acquisition of material assets, but they were unable to appreciate the presence of the Lord. Therefore, even though the Lord may be present before our eyes, it is not possible to see him unless we have the necessary vision. This necessary qualification is developed by the process of devotional service only, beginning with hearing about the Lord from the right sources. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, repeated, etc., by the people in general. But in spite of such hearing, etc., sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional service does not see the Lord eye to eye. The reason is that the first item, Shravana, is very important. If hearing is from the right sources, it acts very quickly. So there's another consideration of the quality of hearing. One's discriminating about the source. So what is it, what are the characteristics of the source that I should discriminate? Generally, people hear from unauthorized persons. Such unauthorized persons may be very learned by academic qualifications, but because they do not follow the principles of devotional service, hearing from them becomes a sheer waste of time. Sometimes the texts are interpreted fashionably to suit their own purposes. Therefore, one should first select a competent and bona fide speaker and then hear from him. When the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. So this is another dimension of faith. Where do I repose faith? On what basis? One who is so evam parampara, probably without going into the detail, Prabhupada is indicating hearing from one who has properly heard, and that person is also properly following what they've heard. Within Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna saying similar in the fourth chapter what the process of disciplic succession is, and then within that process of disciplic succession, he later identifies the term tattvadarshi, one who has seen the truth. How do you know who has seen the truth? How do you know when someone is beyond the modes of material nature? How does one know when one has self-realization? So there's several verses, sections of verses, where Krishna discusses those qualifications. I understand that you're studying Nectar of Instruction. Yes? One of the first verses of Nectar of Instruction is, what's the criterion for someone that can deliver the message, the qualification of a speaker? Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam. You know the verse? Jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam. A person who is dhira. What does dhira mean? D-H-I-R-A. Sober. Sober meaning like not intoxicated, right? Sober means very steady. Not this. Not mercurial. Mercury, like a little change of temperature. Based upon circumstance, very mercurial. Sometimes that word is used to describe people whose moods are very changing. They have a mercurial temperament. And dhira is steady, it's another term. Not changed when there's external changes. So that, what that means is, just like another way of saying the same thing, is how Krishna, or as the Bhagavatam says, where devotional service is not caused by any material circumstance or checked by any material circumstance. So, let's go here for this side. This is the causing end, and this is the resulting end. So there's not a material cause that can cause devotional service, and there's no material obstacle that can check devotional service. That means it's on the spiritual platform. That's dhira. On the material, on the spiritual platform. Something that's prompted materially or checked materially. Supposing someone is a dhira, a sober person. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Like when Prabhupada came to America, what material circumstance prompted his devotional service? It was the opposite. It was obstacle. An obstacle, like an ocean of obstacles. But that didn't change anything. Devotional service was being manifest. Nothing material prompted it, nothing material was able to check it. And as a result, yayatma supersedati. Ahoituki apratiyata yayatma supersedati. That person is finding happiness within. Atma means the self. Suprasana. Very contented. That's another characteristic of dhira. So, if one hears the message, not with the purpose of, can this message help me to achieve something material? That may be the case in the beginning. Commonly, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that is the case in the beginning. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukrita norjana. Four types of sukriti, four types of pious people. They render devotional service unto me. Why? They want something, or they want something, or they want something, or they want something. Different varieties of wants. But we just read in the previous purport, what are those desires? What's the nature of those desires? It's part of the bondage of the living entity to the material world. Someone may say, what's wrong? To want something, want something. Everybody wants something. And I want something. What's wrong? it's not wrong to want something. It's rather if the nature of those desires are avidya. I want to be the enjoyer of Prakriti. And my particular variety is strawberry, vanilla, or chocolate. But it, you know, it's I want to enjoy Prakriti. 36 different varieties, not just those three. There's varieties of trying to keep going, multiplying so many varieties of. So desire is intrinsic to the soul. The problem is not desiring, the problem is desiring separately from Krishna. How does that tendency to desire separately from Krishna become removed? The vidya potency is removed by desiring Krishna's happiness. And that becomes awakened by the process of properly hearing from the right source. Sometimes Prabhupada uses the word ardent hearing. Any of our kids, this is a vocabulary question. What does ardent mean? Bhaji, you know what ardent means? You know? Ardent?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like really dedicated, really sincere, really motivated.
Yeah, really motivated, like intense, strong. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Tivra bhakti. Heard that verse before, right? Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradi tivrena. Intense, strong, focused, sincere, fixed, like ardent. Hearing should be done in that way, not for some material purpose. If it's not for some material purpose, what else is there? For the purpose of connecting with Krishna. If it's not some material purpose, then it may be liberation. But even that liberation may be, you know, I don't like to suffer. I want out of here. Let me out of here. Not whether Krishna's happy or not. Don't ask me that question. I just want out of here. That's material. But let Krishna be pleased. That's bhakti. Bhakti is liberating. I don't know if he intended it to be this way, but perhaps some of you remember the last Sunday lecture that I gave at the Potomac Temple was on compassion. Exercising compassion in contemporary life, contemporary world. So one of the slides was Albert Einstein and his saying something about compassion. I've said it so many times so I know what he said. something that begins, the goal should be to become free by. And this can be achieved by expanding compassion up to the limit of all of nature and all of living entities and the whole of creation. That's expansive compassion. But compassion, his point is, it's liberating. It sets one free. Do the opposite. Selfishness, it brings bondage. It brings limitation, narrow vision. So this ardent hearing is to amplify, to strengthen very strong this aspiration to connect with Krishna. Not just I want, but to connect with Krishna. I mean, that's an I want too, but it's I want my relationship with Krishna. And I know this sound vibration, hearing process is not different than Krishna. It is my relationship with Krishna. Not it can get to me to that place. It is. It's the nature of my relationship with Krishna, just like chanting. Krishna and Krishna's holy name are none different. Right? Abhinatvam nama namino. Abhina. Name and the object named. Nama namino. Are abhina. Krishna is so kind. He's making himself accessible just by saying his name. And not only that, we can make nice musical accompaniment and learn nice melodies and play the flute along with it also. And it sounds very nice. Even musically, it sounds very nice. We can sing together Krishna's name, congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. Such a nice process. So simple. Even a child. And Prabhupada would sometimes say, just see, during kirtan, the child is clapping. They don't know what they're doing, but they're participating in this simple, so simple, anyone can participate. Krishna is so kind. But with ardent hearing, for the purpose of connecting with Krishna, awakening our attraction for Krishna, by so doing, this avidya shakti is removed. It's the position of safety and shelter. One more paragraph in the purport. There are different transcendental activities of the Lord, and each and every one of them is competent to bestow the desired result, provided the hearing process is perfect. In the Bhagavatam, the activities of the Lord begin from his dealings with the Pandavas. That was in the previous chapter. This is chapter 8, Kunti's prayers, chapter 7, beginning of the description of Krishna's activities, it begins with the Pandavas. There are many other pastimes of the Lord in connection with his dealings with the Asuras and others. And in the 10th canto, the sublime dealings with his conjugal associates, the gopis, as well as with his married wives in Dwarka, are mentioned. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference in the transcendental nature in each and every of the dealings of the Lord. But sometimes people in an unauthorized hearing process take more interest in hearing about his dealings with the gopis. Such an inclination indicates the lusty feelings of the hearer, so a bona fide speaker of the dealings of Krishna never indulges in such hearings. One must hear about the Lord from the very beginning. As in the Srimad Bhagavatam or other scriptures, and that will help the hearer attain perfection by progressive development. So that's another quality of hearing. As the speaker is presenting from the beginning, and hear it again, and hear it again, and hear it again, and hear it again and hear it again, and make sure through that repeated hearing process the foundation is properly established before one tries to go further and go further and go further. If the foundation is not very secure, go to further topics and you can easily topple if the foundation isn't well established. Just like from my reading in the Bhagavatam, the second canto and the third canto in detail go into creation and creation. And that's described there specifically by the narrators as one of the Lord's pastimes. And that's not one of the pastimes that most people like to talk about in detail again and again and again. But it's a foundational item. It's what we're involved with right now. Prakriti. Anywhere you look. Look there, up, down, sideways, in front of you, behind you, and all in all directions, and there's Prakriti. What's the relation of that with the Creator? Well, he's the Creator. He'll tell me something new. Anyway, it's important. Any of the Lord's activities are important. And understanding the foundational position of Krishna in relation to all things is very important. Sambandha. We must always remember that the Lord is always transcendental to all mundane attachment and all the above-mentioned dealings of the Lord. He is the hero in all circumstances. And hearing about Him or about His devotees or combatants, like the demons, is conducive to spiritual life. It is said that the Vedas and Puranas, etc., are all made to revive our lost relation with Him. Hearing of all these scriptures is essential. So that's another, it's a fact, but it's also a quality of hearing. Appreciating the essential nature. It is the essence of our spiritual life. Our spiritual life grows from or is built upon that foundation, that essence. So it's not that later on we can be a little careless, casual, and complacent about hearing and chanting. It's the other way around. As we go on, our hearing and chanting becomes more cherished and valued and deeply satisfying. And on that basis, other activities can't enter. There's no interest in them. There's no space for them. Our life becomes filled with hearing and chanting. Not the other way around. That time that we spend reading Srila Prabhupada's books or hearing to the topics of Krishna from others or chanting our japa every day. It's something. Here's something that Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes. Practical advice. At the end of the day, he recommends that you review the day quickly. What are things that went well? What are things that didn't go well? What are things that tomorrow I can do better? Apply myself to do better. And anticipate your sadhana the next morning. I'm really looking forward to chanting, rising early and chanting Krishna's holy name in the quiet of the morning, making that connection with Krishna. Ah, how wonderful is this process. And then what will you think of in the morning when you wake up? You'll think of the same thing as you were thinking before you took rest. And then preparing so you can, the body, and for cleaning and so on, for that purpose. And then you sit down to do your daily devotional hearing and chanting activity. It's sublime. It's sublime. How wonderful is this process? How fortunate we are to have this wonderful process. Hundreds and hundreds of times have thought, how do people do it? Don't chant. How do they make it through their day? I can't go any beyond the question. I don't know how they do it. I know I couldn't do it. I wouldn't want to do it. How do they do it? The short answer is they're covered with ignorance. Otherwise, how could they do it? They're made dull. Because the pounding of the material energy is so intense. It's the hope that it'll be different today. The carrot. Chasing the carrot. Right. But that's avajananti mumma mudha. It's an unfortunate circumstance. So we're very fortunate. We should
recognize that,
appreciate that, feel gratitude for that mercy that's been given to us, and hear with that feeling. And faith and enthusiasm from the right source, and do it regularly because it's so important. So those are some thoughts on the topic of qualities that one should carry into the process of hearing. See if there's any discussion on this.
Maharaj, I like hearing, Maharaj. I like to hear more and more. While hearing, so I don't know if this is true. Sometimes I think that it is, oh, I understood this point, it's very nice. I'm going to repeat this somewhere. So I'm going to tell this to someone. So that kind of feelings comes in. But after some time, you know, that point doesn't stay with me. So, but when I hear it again, oh, I heard it before. So, it seems like whatever I heard is not actually sinking into the heart. So, I mean, the retaining of what I heard is not to the extent that I want it to be. How can I make it?
Keep hearing. And next time, when you're trying to convey a message to your children, and they hear it, and then they don't remember it, be patient with them. This is an inside family message. As you may also hear something and then he'll go back and very patiently Prabhupada will, or their speaker will write it again or say it again and say it again. And by that process of gradual hearing, it's not just like, it's not memorization, not a rote mechanical kind of memorization, but it's a matter of awakening gradually our dormant Krishna consciousness. It's remembered when that natural state of consciousness is restored, and that's gradual. So the why not, why we don't remember, is because we're conditioned. I sometimes use the bungee cord. You know what a bungee cord is, right? Those things that have hooks on the end, and then there's like an elastic thing in between, and you like hold something in place. You pull out the bungee cord. What happens when you let go? So our conditioning is like a bungee cord. We can, you know, go beyond the constraint of a particular circumstance, binding nature, material circumstance. But conditioning tendency is, it goes back to where it was. Conditioning. But actually the other is our natural state, the state of remembrance. But we don't remember because we're conditioned. And so you can just add an adjective, heavily conditioned, or strongly conditioned. That's okay. Conditioned strongly, that's all right. Continue. And gradually, to that hearing process, the unconditioned state predominates, the uncovered state. By cleansing, the uncovered state predominates and it stays naturally. It becomes the way that you experience life. Experience what's around you by consciousness within, Krishna consciousness. So continue with the hearing process. And as you were thinking to do, that's one of the ways to help retain, is speak it to others, share it with others. Have you had the experience, like everyone else in the room has, I'm sure, most of us, when you're in a situation where you're called upon to speak on something, somebody asks a question, things that if you just sat down and tried to write it down, you wouldn't remember, but because it's service, and all kinds of things that you heard before, and you thought, this is a nice thing, I'd like to share this with somebody, it appears. Have you had that experience? Because of service. So if we're in the mood of service, we can remember. Krishna gives the remembrance. If we're in the mood of the other kind, not service, being the enjoyer, or covered with forgetfulness. That's what happens. So practice the mood of service. So things, here's one of them. It's just a regulation, a vidhi. Things that you read that inspire you, you write them down. And from time to time you go back and you look at those things that you wrote down that inspired you. You receive some instruction that inspires you. Write it down and periodically go and review those instructions that inspired you. Not just so that you can have like a feeling again, but so you can connect with the person and the message and like bring it into your heart. It's exactly what's, you know, in the language of the verse. Shinvanti gayanti grinanti abhikshanashaha. Abhikshanashaha is continuously. There's the, you know, intermittently, and then there's the continuously. Before you get to the continuously, you do it intermittently. And before that, you just do it sometimes, like occasionally. Anything else? Yes?
You mentioned about while I'm hearing, I'm having some sort of a contentment, enjoyment tendency. Same thing happens, like, okay, I come to a lecture program and it feels so nice, and I just go back and start getting into that regular program of my weekly activities, and next week comes and again I come, and because I like coming and I like hearing, it feels so nice, and then I keep doing that. On the other hand, there is also a block in my heart where it's like my desires and everything, it basically prevents me from hearing well. How can I, if I am in that position, gradually shift and move towards the continuous hearing mode?
Your question is different but similar to his question. And the answer is different but similar. Continue hearing. And hear purposefully. Like, you know, the original purpose is, or the original, yeah, that the impetus to continue is, I feel good. I like this feeling. I look forward to it. But my conditioned tendencies are very strong. So desire, aspire for that which isn't unsteady, but steady, continuous, abhikshnashaha. What stands between you and steady? Anarthas. So continue, put the cart behind the horse, put the horse before the cart, and continue very nicely with the Bhajana Kriya stage, trying to do it in a quality way, free from offenses, which will remove the anarthas, will carry to the position of steadiness. But it's a desire, you know, it's an elevation of desire. Desires of the soul down here is, you know, animal or even lower. But it's like this, you know, it's moving from selfishness to compassion. I'd like to be able to be a better servant. I'd like to be a better husband, I'd like to be a better father, I'd like to be a better community member, I'd like to be a better devotee, I'd like to be a better instrument of Krishna. Not out of pride, but in service. I'm not there. I'd like that. Not just I want an experience, but I want to be a servant. And that happiness surpasses all these other kinds. The other kinds confine us. While engaged in the hearing process to get to that position of steadiness, overcoming the selfishness in its place, simply being a servant. And that's sublime. That sublime consciousness displaces material consciousness. Light displaces darkness. That's Krishna. Jnana Dipena Bhasvata. Krishna is the one that's with the torchlight of knowledge destroying the darkness of ignorance. He's awakening that within us. For he will do that when he sees that we want to serve him and please him, be his instrument. He takes care of the whole thing. We just take up that one thing. It's right in the purport. Something else? Nice process, huh? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. I have one question. When we compare Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga, which is the better way to approach for a starter to be in Krishna consciousness? If one person is in the Krishna consciousness.
Excuse me. You know the answer. Why are you asking this?
No, I have more questions.
You know the answer, though. You know the answer. Let me ask you. When Srila Prabhupada came to America and he wanted to begin the Hare Krishna movement on the order of his spiritual master, where did he begin? Jnana Yoga or Bhakti Yoga? Ask the same question differently. When you read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, does he speak about the importance of Jnana Yoga or Bhakti Yoga? Okay. Why are you asking the question?
Without Jnana Yoga, is it possible to stay in Bhakti Yoga in long?
Yes. Bhakti is independent. Bhakti is not dependent. It's the other way around. Without bhakti, Gyan doesn't take you anywhere. Then you don't even get off the ground. But when there's bhakti, then there's some strength. Then it has bhakti yoga. Otherwise, it's just Gyan. No Gyan yoga. Because that linking with the Supreme is with the Supreme. It's not just, you know, sit here and Gyan. Speculate. I wonder what the truth is. Maybe I'll go to the Vedas and maybe I'll find it there. I'll take my flashlight and go look for the sun.
Yeah, actually, I have belief it should be a mix of both.
No.
Without one...
No. Here's the answer. We have Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Is this Gyan or is it Bhakti?
That is Bhakti.
Ah, there we are. So, when I'm reading Bhagavatam and I'm reading Bhagavad Gita, it's not Gyan. Why? What's the difference? This is nurturing explicitly, directly, it's nurturing my attraction for Krishna. There's details of knowledge. The purpose of those details of knowledge, they're impetuses to awaken bhakti. It's so different from Gyan. Here's one way to put it. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When you have a house, not like one of these, Vanilika, say a house, an A-frame house. There's doors, there's walls, there's a roof, there's windows, there's fixtures in the kitchen, and there's the main support beam that holds up the house. Which is the most important part. You can have all the doors and windows and walls and fixtures you want, but without the main support. And after the main support is there, then those things have some value. Bhakti is the essence of the message of Bhagavad Gita, the message of the yoga system. There may be details of knowledge within that system, within that, underneath that structure. But they, Gyan and karma, the proper way of approaching work, have strength and have meaning and value because of bhakti, not the other way around. Take, for example, the illiterate Brahmin in Sri Rangam. You know that pastime with Lord Chaitanya. The terms are contradictory. Illiterate Brahmin. Brahmin means learned. Vipra. But he didn't know how to read and write, but he knew the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. What Gyan did he have? He couldn't even pronounce the words properly. But he knew the meaning. And on the basis of his bhakti, he knew the meaning. Not on the strength of Gyan. Then he had vigyan, realization of the message of Bhagavad Gita. So it's not mixture. Rather, the essence is bhakti, and the person who is a bhakta, they have knowledge. They have knowledge because they've heard about Krishna. They have the detachment from the fruits of their work because they've heard about Krishna. So that they know the art of work and they have knowledge. Another example that Prabhupada gives is the queen in the palace of the king. The king wants to give to the queen all comforts. Josie has so many attendants, ladies in waiting. And as the queen moves about the palace, following behind her all of her ladies in waiting. But what is the queen thinking of? She's thinking of the king. Because she's thinking of the king, she's the queen. That's her qualification, not these other things. So Gyan and Vairagya, they're standing at the doorway. Liberation is standing at the doorway with folded palms. There's verses in the Bhagavatam that speak like this for the devotee, wishing to serve. But bhakti is independent. Bhakti is not dependent. Just as Krishna is independent, he's not dependent on anything. Bhakti is as independent as Krishna is. So it's a mistaken notion. Sorry for getting so strong with you, but it's a mistaken notion. They're not, we need a mix. We read Bhagavad Gita not for increasing jnana, or awakening our loving attraction for Krishna. And yukta vairagya, that's our practice. Engaging in Krishna service and with that detachment from illusion. Detachment from attraction for being the enjoyer of matter. We hear what are the perils of being attracted to the enjoyment of matter. We hear that. But again, doesn't go anywhere without for the satisfaction of Krishna. That's the empowerment of the real strength of transcendental knowledge. Sorry for being a little strong with you. It's okay.
Like you, you know, just when you take out, once you reach a certain point, you know, then you can fly in bhakti yoga. But to my question, to take out, I don't know, I am feeling that way. We must have to have some jnana also, some jnana yoga also.
Here's something that Prabhupada writes in Nectar Devotion that's from Rupa Goswami's teaching. Some basic understanding or knowledge must be there. He uses the word to get a foothold. Foothold, like if you want to scale a wall, you may have to, you know, very carefully place your foot in some place where it's secure so you can. But it's not the essence. Please adjust your thinking somehow. It's not the essence. It's not essential. Because there may be someone that doesn't even have that, and they can understand Krishna. Kubja. She was just attracted to Krishna. What foothold, what knowledge did she have? She was just attracted to Krishna. So she came and offered what she had to Krishna. Krishna smiled and accepted. So he placed his foot on her toe and put his fingers under her chin and straightened out her curved back, her hunchback. So she became very beautiful, and her features became very beautiful. He accepted her devotion, not with yan. That's the essence. Yes?
Sorry, I just have a quick follow-up. Like you were saying about the foothold, and I remember Rupa Goswami says that in devotion, but I remember reading from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur somewhere in the early first canto section. I can't recall exactly where, but he says that even that knowledge which helps us gain the foothold is also actually bhakti, because that knowledge
in relation to Krishna,
it's actually, it's awakening the bhakti, and it's not like it's knowledge in and of itself. itself, because if it's just knowledge, it cannot awaken bhakti. So therefore, that knowledge is actually bhakti.
Yes.
Maharaj, actually, while sharing the messages with others, of late, what is really happening is I'm seeing pretty soon, I'm experiencing the same situation.
Experiencing?
The same kind of situation.
Which kind of situation?
I mean, say I'm sharing some particular messages with others. So,
the joy of realizing it originally, you experienced that?
Not like that, Maharaj. say I'm talking to somebody about, they're asking me about anxieties and all those, and I'm talking about some stuff, whatever instructions I have heard and all those. What happens is, I feel I'm experiencing that kind of situation. I mean, I'm being put in that situation where I'm given an opportunity to apply that. But what really happens is, I'm just observing this for quite some time now. There is this conscious awareness of what I heard and what also I repeated. Everything is there. But when it comes to action, I don't do it, actually. It's like, I don't know how to explain, two, three things.
She seems to understand what you're saying. you're going like this. I'm going like this.
I got two things from what she said, that when she shares certain messages based on her...
There's a theoretical understanding of what you're supposed to say about this particular thing, but there isn't the personal application of that particular thing.
And
what's the feeling? The feeling is...
The feeling is sometimes it feels discouraging for me. I feel like...
I had a solution. Apply it. Let that feeling be an impetus to go one more little step. And the little step is that tomorrow I'm going to apply this. I'm not... Okay. You're equipped with a model. You're just not applying the model adequately. I'm sure you're applying it to some degree, but not adequately, not to your contentment. So that experience... You've read it, you've heard it, now you're explaining it, and now the feeling is, I'm not applying this. Let that be an impetus, not like a discouragement. You can go into darkness or you can go into light. Into light is a springboard to go further, the next step. And before we go, let me just say one more thing. This is on the personal side. A further impetus is to be an example for those who you love very much, your family members, particularly your children. Let me be an example. I'm saying like that because I know you, but I'm thinking of another situation where, In the presence of her daughter, a mother was saying, I have two daughters, and my daughter says to me, Mommy, did you chant your rounds today? I used to say that to my daughter, and now my daughter is saying that to me. Because, I chant in the car, and I take some time out during my lunch break, but they're not seeing me chant. So I'm going to stop that. I'm going to chant with my kids, so they can take by example, they can see. So that's it's that was inspiring this particular mother. Let me set a good example. It's love. It's service. It starts actually in your own heart. That's where it really should start. But this is kind of a dovetail. Well, it's good for me, but it'll also be good for my kids. So I'll do it. And then, so there, now you have two impetuses, that gap of what I know and where I am, what I'm applying. Does that help?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Not only that, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to catch up on the same topic and just give an example for the same thing, the Gyan versus Bhakti thing. For like in a material world, you know, just to explain, I don't know if that helps, that in the material world, when we say Bhakti, what I understand is like love for God. And that love is, you know, when you love God, I mean, you can do whatever. And in the material world, if you kind of take family, like, you know, when for women it's easy, like, you know, when you have kids, the love of a kid, or, you know, for just a teenager, when you just fall in love, there is a theoretical concept of love. You know, you just, everybody knows, you know, what love is. But until you really experience, until you really meet that person, or until you have your kid, you really do not know. But when you get into that spot, that when you meet that person, you know, it's just a material world. And or when you have a kid, it seems like all the knowledge just comes from within. Like for a mother, you know, she's never been a mother before, but just that love of the kid brings like all the knowledge from within her.
Let me ask you, I've never had children. Does that mean I can't possibly know what it is to love?
No, that's not where I'm going.
Okay, but I disagree with your premise. I disagree with your premise. I disagree with the example, but I also disagree with the premise. Here's the scriptural version of what you just said is every living being, mothers and kids and teenagers, every living in squirrels and insects and bugs and birds and trees and every living entity has a constitutional nature. And that constitutional nature is covered. The condition of love is between the living entity and the Supreme. That capacity to love as a mother or as a child to the mother or as, you know, boy, girl. That capacity to love that's innate is in relation to Krishna. That spiritual attraction for Krishna, that's what bhakti is.
Yeah, that's what.
Okay, let me just finish. And the process of, as our topic is hearing from the right source, it awakens that. And that's what bhakti is. That's what hearing or reading Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam is. That's love. That's and love means practical activity. Bhakti means not just a feeling, but it's practical activity in relation to Krishna. That relation to Krishna involves other living entities. That dormant status. So it's, the way that you described it is if I just, you know, when I'm finally a mother and I have the child and relationship with the child, or there she is or he is, and it's, you know, it's romance, then I know what love is. It's not like that. It's not like that.
No, I wasn't going there. What I meant was like just to understand the concept, like you were trying to explain that until you have that bhakti for God, you know, bhakti is independent of the knowledge. The knowledge will come. When you have the bhakti, the knowledge will come. So I meant to say, like, if we want to understand in physical terms, we would say, like, you know, when you really fall in love, then your knowledge comes from within. So similarly, like when for like bhakti for Krishna, that love is like that when you really get that awareness from within, you know, like that love for God, the knowledge will come from within yourself, not from any other source.
Not so. I disagree in premise, in principle. I'm sorry. We're not agreeing with one another.
That's okay.
It's okay, but I would not want just to have the statement you just made go, yeah, it's okay. It's not what our scriptures are teaching us. It's not what my convictions are. Yes, there is dormant knowledge within. That's true. But the way for it to be realized is not just I one day find Krishna and then I feel everything and understand everything and know everything, because it's already within and I just realize it. That's not our process. That's not what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita as the process either. So what our process is, as we're discussing, the whole frame of our discussion is hearing from the right source. And that hearing from the right source awakens in a gradual manner. It awakens our dormant love for Krishna. And yes, in that state of awakened love for Krishna, that knowledge resonates completely. It's high fidelity resonance with the message that we're hearing. But it starts with hearing that message properly, because initially we hear the message with a filter, just like this dialogue right now. Hearing message with a filter, I hear what I want to hear, and that's what I hear. It's what I want to hear. And if I don't want to hear it, I don't hear it. And that's hearing with a filter. But the actual condition is, the process of gradual hearing from the right source, and there's lots of not right sources out there in the spiritual marketplace, Prabhupada is commenting, that if you hear from the right source, then gradually that spiritual consciousness is awakened and the avidya potency is diminished and dismissed gradually by the hearing process, not by... the experience of, you know, the awakening of a loving attitude towards my child or towards my spouse or something. Not the process. Not how it happens.
I actually didn't mean that loving my child or loving my spouse is loving Krishna. That's not what I meant.
I know. I'm not saying that you meant that. I'm saying, but it's not like when I'm married and I'm in that relationship with a wife or a husband, as pending, or having a child, then I know what, and then all the things that motherhood is about, it just happens because it's within me already. That's not the process of bhakti. The process of bhakti is hearing. And then, like, you know, these other discussions about chanting. And I don't want to go around one more time. Yes, Mahamantra.
Thank you very much. So many questions were answered to so many questions. And like Shankaracharya Prabhu's question, for sinking in the message, like while massaging the message, what's happening is like sometimes it's resonating with my circumstance. So, and then after a little upliftment, how do I go beyond that my circumstance to which it is resonating? A message I heard.
Did you get it? You got it. Okay.
So when he hears something, when he's in a certain circumstance, certain messages resonate because he's in the circumstance. But how to take it beyond that circumstance and not just have circumstantial feeling.
Okay. There's essences, and then there's applications of essences. If you can understand the essence within a particular circumstance, then focus on the essence. And then life moves. That means the circumstances change. But to continue to consider the essence. And you may lose it, just like Shankadari's example. You may, and then comes, you know, you come back into that circumstance, or you read it again, or hear it again, or experience it again, or something. Then it comes again. So, capture the essence. You know, it's like immature and then maturing. And the maturing is by the process of bhakti itself, or, you know, living in devotion, then that essence will grow if you're hearing in the proper way and carrying that message into your service. So try to apply that essence as best you can. Maybe, you know, like, not 100% perfect, but take that essence and try to apply it in other circumstances. And, you know, see the reciprocation that Krishna provides, and see if, like, you know, acting in knowledge gives realization, like that. All right. Okay, I think we'll end there. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.